Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Does Stephen Jones not know what air quotes are or mean? Good morning, Metroplex. It's a Tolo Tuesday with a Jason Aldean ticket giveaway coming up for you during the commercial-free expressway. I'm Sean Sharif alongside our Jay Choppy and our Cowboys insider Bobby Roberto Belt. And Choppy, you are referring to yesterday's Cowboys presser as a ghost ship. What is that?
Just felt like it was, kind of like wandering through the ocean. You know, the press got a lot of weave. You talk about the weave, right? A lot of weaving. There was direction, but then no direction. And it was like, you know, at times Jerry was preemptively answering questions that hadn't been asked yet.
Yeah, all the questions that I was running down yesterday and we were debating whether the media would fire them off, Jerry took care of that for us.
First 11 minutes, he answered about six of them. It was, you know, I mean, he just like preempted, it's like he knew what they were going to ask, and it was just like bam, 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 bam.
Probably, yeah, I'm guessing when we started talking about yesterday when Sean was asking about the pie, how it gets broken up, I'm guessing Jerry just went like, all right, let's hit some of these now, and then we can just focus on getting questions that you guys actually want to. We can get to some of the stuff for Brian. I will say, I thought there were more questions for Brian Schottenheimer than I was anticipating, and that may have been because, all right, well, Jerry answered all that already, I guess.
Well, the criticisms that Jerry addressed, right? Lack of search, the cap criticisms. He went out of his way saying that this was a comfortable, safe hire. Boom. Boom, boom. He's just checking all these different things off. Why didn't you go and talk to Ben Johnson and the others? But Jerry was basically, I got so many tweets from Tolo saying, he has been monitoring or listening to y'all's program and station. But he was going right down the list. So you did not like that?
I did not. It's not that I didn't like it or not. It's just, it was just very, very strange. You know, like, I also think that what it does is it deflects. So like instead of the media asking the question, that question, and then having a follow-up, it's like, well, it's already been addressed.
Okay.
So they're not going to go back to it.
Okay.
So it kind of shields those questions being asked. Maybe so it does. I don't know.
I would disagree a little because I think he's given you the answer he would have given you if you asked it. So they're like, I mean, it's the same sort of thing. And even still, they went back to the well on some of it throughout the press conference, and there wasn't anything that he said. The only thing I heard him say yesterday, not getting into that today, was after the press conference when people were trying to ask him about potential staff additions. He was like, I'm not getting into that. I'm not doing that today. That was the only thing I heard him say yesterday that he wouldn't answer. But otherwise, I mean, he was willing to go back to the well on just about anything.
Jerry choking up to start. Saying that he missed, you know, a Senior Bowl practice, the only one he's ever missed. People were criticizing him for making it about him. He was taking shots at the comfort zone narrative and talking about the risk, the humongous risk that this actually is.
Now, I get my proverbial ass kicked over needing people in my comfort zone. Without this thing being about me in any way... If you don't think I can't operate out of my comfort zone, you're so wrong. It's unbelievable. This is as big a risk as you could take. As big a risk as you could take. No head coaching experience. But let me share something with you. With all of that, you've just heard him reference his osmosis, his family. Anybody in this room that doesn't believe the apple doesn't go far from the tree has missed it someplace down the road. Especially if there was an effort to make it that way, and there was an effort. But then you go around to the countless numbers of coaches that Shoddy has served on staff with and been around, the countless players. How often do you have someone that has 25, I'm going to say 25, it may be 26, of years of working through the human relationship and working, aspiring to learn, of have his ears and eyes wide open and looking for techniques and looking for things that make coaches better.
And that was Steven's main point, saying this is the combo of continuity and change. We're getting both. We're getting continuity, change, and energy.
You know, this just dawned on me now. And I think Nui brought something up with this after the press conference, sort of. But they did hit so often with McCarthy. The almost every time he's won a Super Bowl. He's done it. He's won a Super Bowl. He's done this. He's done that. And now they're just leaning on, well, he's got broad experience. He's been around for 25 years.
Yeah.
And it's that there. I mean, as Nui had asked him afterwards, like, he's like, he's never won a Super Bowl, period, on a staff, anything. So what's the deal there? And he's like, coaches don't win Super Bowls on their own. So, you didn't say that with McCarthy.
I just wonder how much of this is Schottenheimer is Steven. It's the parallel in their mind. It's the son. It's growing up through the league. You got the family ties. Yeah. You got the famous dad. And I just wonder how much Steven Jones sees Brian Schottenheimer as himself and how much Jerry sees Schottenheimer as Steven. But Steven Jones, my goodness. This is probably the angriest moment from Tolos of the entire hour plus heard right here on this station. The air quotes.
Well, I think we, you always have to evaluate, where it didn't go right last year. And obviously we're also evaluating where it didn't go right, in terms of, this drought that people say we're in terms of a championship game or a Super Bowl. And, we just have to continue to make this roster better. It'll certainly be something that Jerry, myself, Will and his staff, and now Coach Shoddy and his staff, we'll sit down and take a look and see what we have to do better. I think we got a lot of great pieces. You ask why Shoddy? I think Shoddy's the perfect combination, keeping some continuity, but also affecting change. And we have to support that as well in terms of being behind him and doing the things he wants to do. I've walked in Shoddy's shoes. I have a lot of deference in myself as well, working with Jerry. Shoddy did the same with Mike. Would he do things different? Is he going to do things different than Mike? Absolutely. I'm convinced of that.
All right, a lot in there. Air quotes to the drought. People destroyed him yesterday. It's not air quotes. It's a fact. Those weren't the only air quotes. And then the word deference was used multiple times as well from Jerry and Steven.
They both said it numerous times. He's shown a lot of deference. Mm. Oh man, he has bit his lip. Let me tell you, he bites his lip in there sometimes. there was a lot of just.
I heard some media. By the way, let me defend Schottenheimer in this regard. Sorry, Bobby. I heard some people criticizing. It reminded me of the Dez Micah Twitter fight the other day. If you wanted more tempo and you wanted to fix the culture, why didn't you just do it? You've been in the building for 3 years. Are you seriously asking that? Other people in the media whose opinion I sometimes respect, it's still Mike McCarthy's offense. He was the offense. The term offensive coordinator in these types of situations mean nothing, in my opinion. Nothing. Not when the head coach is the play caller. It doesn't matter who Sean Payton's offensive coordinator is. It's not going to matter who Liam Cohen's offensive coordinator. It doesn't matter. And you're not going to sit there and change everything that the head coach wants to do culture-wise because you are a subordinate. If Tim Collins takes over for Gavin Spittle tomorrow, our assistant program director for the program, Tim is going to make some changes. But it doesn't mean that Tim is soft or scared because he's not sitting here overriding what the boss, Gavin Spittle, wants to do like right now today. Everyone's going to have natural change and adjustments. But this whole thing, why don't you do it? You were in the building. Why don't you change the culture? Come on, be smarter.
It's not
that.
His decision. Yeah, it's not a decision that is given to him.
Yeah, it's not Mike's mandate.
Now, the question could come up, did he voice this directly enough and frequently enough to Mike?
And they said multiple times, we didn't see eye to eye. He was trying to say, we did not see eye to eye on all things regarding offensive philosophy. It's fine. I'll ask the guys and a lot of people for opinion. And my wife always does this. She goes, why'd you ask for my opinion?
The restaurant.
why'd you ask for my opinion? Well, I like to gather opinions. And then if it's a topic that where I'm going to buy something or make a big decision, I'm going to make the final decision. But I still want to know your input in case There's an idea I need to borrow, steal. Oh, I should take this. I should take that. It doesn't mean that your opinion doesn't have any value because it was the waiter at the restaurant. What would you order? One, two, three. All right, give me four. No, I still want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah. And that's it. Now, again, the thing you might be able to point to and say, was that handled correctly? We don't have any clarity on this. They didn't address it. But is the idea of, if you had these differences, were you just complaining about them to people other than Mike? Or were you delivering this to Mike as well? Or were you just going, well, I'm biting my lip and I guess I'll complain about it to other people? That could be problematic.
That's a problem, but...
But I don't know I'm just saying, is that what occurred?
Well, look, I don't know. I don't know how big of a problem it is from this respect. Let me try to couch this, because something I've said already this morning has been tweeted out in headlines about the Kellen Moore interview. I know of an instance where a big boss went to Schottenheimer and was like, why the hell are you running this play? It's something that a lot of Tolos would complain about during a game. Schottenheimer has to have an answer for that. You know what I mean? It's not Mike, you know, someone above Mike. So is that ratting Mike out? Is that tattling? Is that throwing Mike under the bus? When you have to provide an answer to a big boss, you're the offensive coordinator. Why the hell did you call that stupid play? It makes no sense, and our fan base is calling it out. I don't view Shoddy as a weasel, and that's probably too harsh of a word. I don't view Shoddy as throwing Mike under the bus if he's like, that was Mike's call. What's he supposed to say?
Oh, yeah.
You have to have an answer for it. Your boss is asking you.
Yeah, the disagreement on philosophy and how that was communicated to people and the fact that they did see things differently, that could have played out in 1,000 different contexts where, all right, well, 700 of these are okay. 300 of these, you kind of go, oh, well, that's where, like, they're a bunch of, so, yeah, that's a fine context. Is the context more just going around the water cooler and like, can you believe me?
Right,
like,
right.
That's a problem.
Digs.
So how does that... We don't know how that information was disseminated to other people in the organization, but clearly everyone knew they saw things differently.
Chop, you are the great justifier of the radio station.
Yes.
Stevens air quotes.
Well, we're not in the weeds. Folks in the weeds see things differently, right? They see things, I think, differently than those on the outside looking in. They don't see it as maybe a drought or failure. I don't know how they don't. That's the only thing I could think of. I think the other thing is that maybe he just was misusing air quotes. Like, that's because, you know, I was listening to this. So, you're listening to this on the Odyssey app or on the fan, you're not seeing the air quotes unless you take some really good drugs. I think then you might be able to.
What else? But
I don't think that's the case here.
What else did he use them for?
He was talking about the perfect marriage of change and continuity. And he does it like the perfect marriage and like, so here you go. This is yeah. Actually now I'm starting to see it, I think. Maybe. And it is this I'm gonna try and play chop here. Marriage, quote unquote, drought, quote unquote. He's having an issue with referring to literal words and using them as analogies. So a drought is obviously there's a, you know, no rain, no anything. So he's going like drought, I guess. He also, if you'll notice, he said this drought. People say where see he didn't around people say. Maybe he didn't want to misgender them.
Yeah, it was people and marriage.
Maybe he's got the Sabrinas.
Yeah. So it was just I think he was doing the air quotes around generic statements like marriage or people.
This is what it's titled.
This is what it's
versus dismissing the reality of
right.
it. Because the crazy thing about this, Steven over the past 2 years, and Bobby, you've mentioned this multiple times, he's been the most realistic and in touch in speaking about their struggles.
Mm-hmm.
When he comes on the station, I know that, you know, the guys all joke about the tardiness and all that stuff and all the deflection. Steven has, I think we all agree, he's been the most in touch with them coming up short and saying, I get it. I understand the family. So it would be weird that he was so dismissive, if he was being dismissive of the 30 years.
He said, he repeated that line that he said last offseason. He said something yesterday that was similar where he says, when he's talking about that, he's like, I know we have to prove to them because we haven't done it. Like, and that's the line that he typically goes. He says, I know it's not enough for us to just say we're going to do it because we haven't done it. And so we need to prove it. So, I mean, he's been realistic about this. So, is it bad optics? Absolutely. Yeah. Is it unusually bad optics for Steven, who is very measured? Yes, absolutely. Yes. I just think it was, very flippant.
I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that he's like, this is what people, some refer to it as a drought.
Yeah, because it like, you know, because they've talked about, well, we have the sixth most wins or whatever in this amount of time. You know, we've been
people say it's actually the eighth most.
Yeah, we've been a good team, which, I mean, those are all that's true. But it's also factual that it's been eight leap years since you went to a Super Bowl. We've been eight leap years. That's a lot of time.
All right, we have a Jason Aldean ticket giveaway next for you putting up with us on DFW Sports Station. And I don't know if they do this in every other city, but here we have the press conference, and then we have the post-press conference where sometimes the real goods get let out. We have the audio of it because of Bobby Bell. Why didn't you interview Ben Johnson? And what's up with Dion and Jason Witten? Commercial-free expressway with a Jason Aldean ticket giveaway next. And that means we are commercial-free. You know what? We usually try to drag this out a little bit, get more listening time. But your views and the listenership going up during the commercial-free expressway has been dominant over the past few weeks with no Cowboys football. So let's not have you wait today. We'll try that
in a small town. All right, Tolos, that's right. Call number 10 at 877-881-1053. Wins a pair of tickets to see Jason Aldean on August 14th at the Dos Equis Pavilion in Dallas. That's call number 10 at 877-881-1053.
What's so funny?
Jason Aldean has like 15 number one hits, and Peyton picked the one song that was like, hey, this is what almost got you canceled.
Oh.
Because it's try that in a small town. Like, it's the idea of just like, you come around a small town, you try that, you might get it.
Oh. And so and what is song. That?
A gun shot at you. Basically, it was
No, try that. What does that mean? What is he talking about?
I don't remember
about?
The whole
don't try it.
Just like people. I don't remember what all the specifics of
protesting
the song
or something.
I didn't like the song. No, it was like basically
everything that's been
drink a Bud Light.
Drink a Bud Light. Yeah, try that in a small town. There you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, but that, like the whole song. I mean, I thought it was an overreaction at the time that people were like, "Oh my gosh, this is so off." I just didn't think it was a very good song.
All right, Ross Tucker, our filthy friend, is going to join us at 8 o'clock this morning. Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com at 9:20. As the show of Wales continues on DFW Sports Station, Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. All right, Bobby, paint the picture of what happens after the official press conference ends.
Okay, so after the press conference ends, and this is the norm whenever there's a big Cowboys press conference for anything. So they're introducing, you know, they're announcing a Dak signing, they're introducing head coach, whatever it is. When they have a press conference, when it's done, the media kind of just disperses, tracks over to Jerry and Steven off stage. Usually you'll get kind of a split, and then they stand over there and basically ask them another round of questions, which is usually a little more pointed. It's not that it's, oh man, you're not getting this stuff that's going to be shown to everybody else. You're not getting this information that can be out there to everyone else, because it gets reported, or in this instance, like, I was there to get it. We're going to play it. But in a lot of instances, I think people just feel like, all right, this is more this is an official introduction. Hey, you got your job. Great. All right, over here now, we're going to get into some stuff with you.
You sent the audio. I'm glad RJ asked. I was scared to transcribe and put this out there because we didn't know whether it was on or off the record.
Because coaches, you can't do that with. So Jason Garrett, Mike McCarthy, I assume Brian Schottenheimer will do the same. They would, when they're done with their press conference, they do a walk-off, which is just off to the side, and it's a little more informal, and it's not on the record. It's just you're chatting about, hey, what's going on here? What's this or that? That you can't record or play back.
That's
or anything
where
else.
Bill taught the media everything about football. Randy Galloway called this the largest collection of football idiots in the world of North Texas, as we used to say. And the media was all part of that. And Bill, during that time, I mean, his walk-offs were great. That's where everybody. That's where you would learn everything.
Does every coach do this in every sport?
It's pretty common in football, at least. I don't know. I don't think in the NBA, but I mean, it's pretty common in a lot of markets with football.
All right, let's get down to business. When asked about Deion Sanders, Jerry's like, it was a conversation. Deion already has a job. And that was pretty much it. Has he had conversations? So the Jason Witten answers kind of confused me, but it felt like everyone left that scrum thinking that there had been no official conversations with Witten about joining this staff.
Yeah, I we'll ask Nick about this more at 9:20, but I don't get the sense there's much of a chance right now that Witten's actually going to join the staff, just from some of the stuff that Jerry was saying yesterday, some of the stuff you're hearing around. But yeah, Jerry had said, he was asked, have you talked to Jason Witten at all? And he went like, yeah, I'll leave it at that. And he goes, wait, you mean in the last month? Well, about joining staff. No. And then he got asked to follow up. And he's like, not getting into that today. Don't really want to talk about it.
I wonder if Jason did not want to. I was told some things behind the scenes. I don't feel comfortable enough relaying it. I'd have to ask more people if this actually happened, because it's pretty strong stuff. But I wonder personally if Jason, the media narrative turned him off and that he didn't want to be viewed in that regard. I could see someone like Jason Witten be like, no, I don't want this to be set up like I am the Grim Reaper looking over the shoulder of the next coach, that I'm handed this Dallas Cowboy head coach in waiting position. I could see I don't know Jason that well at all, but I could see him being, I wouldn't want to just be given that and be labeled as the one everyone's side-eyeing in the building on the coaching staff.
That's possible. I will say, this is the same Jason Witten who went up in the booth for a year and came back down. And went, all right, tight ends, get out of here. I'm back. I'm taking this job again. You guys,
or went up inside in the booth to begin with and bumped someone more deserving and more experienced as a color analyst.
Yeah. So I mean, I think there's a decent chance that it just isn't the right fit right now. Is the thing.
Okay, Stephen Jones really took me aback and set off some Tolos listening when he was asked, why didn't you guys interview other candidates? This process, why didn't you go get the young whiz kid, Ben Johnson? Why didn't you talk to other people? Steven said, we did. The way of the league is rookie offensive wizards, and we did it with someone who has the experience. We got a better version of it. And poof! I thought my computer was going to blow up.
Yeah.
So Ben Johnson, McVay back in the day, Shanahan back in the day, he's like, we have a young offensive wizard and we know him and he has more experience than those guys. Check, check, check.
I think Schottenheimer made clear to them during the process, I want to do more of the things that are being done by San Francisco, LA. That's part of it. They think they're getting those concepts brought in because I think that's part of what he and McCarthy butted heads about.
Here's Jerry. This is the audio you have not heard. Bobby collecting it as the Cowboys insider in the post presser. Jerry on not interviewing other top coordinators.
Because I have one. That is very capable in those skills that those players you just mentioned. He's got those skills, okay? He's done that. In particular, he is uniquely qualified to coach our team. He's uniquely qualified to coach Dak, okay? You say, well, how about Moore? Okay, and Moore, okay? Shadi's been doing this 25 years. He's got tons of experience. He's dealt with many players and quarterbacks. And so that's what I was talking about. This is a rare opportunity to have a young mind, spirit, first time, the benefits of being that. And this is my time. I've got to go. I want to show and be emboldened by the experience that he's had for 29 years, both in communication with other players, I mean, with other coaches. It's just a rare situation. That's why I took it for the Cowboys.
Does not excuse what they did, in my opinion. You can still have everything Jerry just said and Schottenheimer waiting off on the side. Does not excuse you not. You can think to yourself, you know what? It's like searching for an airplane ticket. I'll be like, okay, I'll text Choppy, help me, please book it. But I'm like, okay, that looks like the right one. I'm going to reserve it for 24 hours. I can cancel, but I want to see if it's true that there's lower tickets on Tuesdays. So I'm going to wait one more day just to see if there's a price break. I have this locked in. That's what I'm probably going to decide on, but I just want to see if something else surprising comes up. And for them not to do that with Ben Johnson or other people is inexcusable. And, I can get behind what a lot of things with Jerry and Steven did yesterday. I'm not going to let them off the hook for that.
I think they wanted to talk to Aaron Glenn in some capacity. Aaron Glenn got snatched up. I don't think they ever had.
Well, I can tell you for damn sure, after listening to Aaron Glenn yesterday, that would not have worked around here.
No, no, you talk, not.
Aaron Glenn laid down the hammer. Woody Johnson went off to the side and watched his kid play Madden or tried on his next little bling chain. And it was just Aaron Glenn standing up there. And they asked him about Aaron Rodgers coming back.
Will Aaron Rodgers be your quarterback?
You're going to continue to ask me the same question. I'm going to get the same answer. We're still in evaluation mode. So for anybody else going to ask that, I'm going to give you the same answer. So don't waste your time. Be clear.
Well, let's answer that. What do you look for in a quarterback? Like, what's an Aaron Glenn quarterback?
A winner. A winner. Mental and physical toughness. When you talk about that process, you're not going to get me.
But well, let me ask you this. You know, Parcells, you know, I know you guys are close. He always
that's
said,
"That's Parcells. Okay. I'm Aaron Glenn.
Okay, so you don't.
That's Parcells. I'm Aaron Glenn.
Okay.
Boom! Man. Boom! Yeah. I love it. What?
I hate it.
Why?
He can't invoke Bill Parcells on his own up there in the press conference, and then when somebody else goes, all right, well, Parcells view quarterback, and then try to go, don't bring up Parcells. Like,
did he invoke him?
Yeah, he did. He brought up Parcells on his own in the press
conference. Well, I love it, and, you know, I'm just smarter than you, so that goes. But the point is, that ain't going to work here.
No.
That's too blunt. That absolutely is too real.
Dan Campbell, I don't believe, would have worked here. You know, he wouldn't have been able to do the same thing. I have no problem if you find, like, if you know something's the right, like that, look, that's the right deal. Just go ahead and take it, right? You know, because Jerry would view it. So you were giving the analogy about the airplane tickets. Jerry would view it the other way, I think, where the moment he recognizes a good deal, it's a bigger risk for him to.
But how do you know how good of a deal it is? Don't. Because you didn't look for any other deal.
I think because you have a number in your head, and that's your, you know, like, hey, I assume this ticket's gonna be $300, and I see it for $219. Right. You know, I'm jumping on it.
Yeah,
right. You know the market. Yeah, I guess you know the market, right?
But that's the thing; they don't know the market.
They don't know the market.
They didn't they didn't investigate the market.
No, they didn't. But they also, they had no interest in Ben Johnson. Like that was just, they don't want that. They don't want somebody. The comfort, and Jerry talked about comfort, and you know he. Basically, and that was the very strange, you know, diatribe where he was talking about, you know, I went outside my comfort zone here and I took a huge risk.
Yeah.
It's a very, very awkward moment.
And look, there is something, it's boring and it's, you know, recycled and all that, but there is something to be sold in. We're going to hit the ground running. You could see it yesterday with Schottenheimer walking down the hallway with all the players in there. You can easily sell an advantage of Brian Schottenheimer knowing the building, knowing the players, and having the relationships versus someone else coming in and learning how does it work with Will McClay? What is Dak Prescott like? You can absolutely sell, and that's what the Cowboys wanted. They never want to take that step backwards. So this is just another selling point for them moving forward. We can keep moving forward because this guy has familiarity.
Yeah, and I'll say, I think the answer there on Ben Johnson is that's Jerry giving an answer so that he doesn't give the actual answer, which is, I think they had mutual friends that communicated about them. Like, I don't think that's a great fit for you too. Like I just, for instance, when I was, you respect Sandler. You really like Sandler's perspective on things. He knows you know him. He knows exactly what your kind of vibe is. If when you were considering like, all right, bringing Bobby on or bringing somebody else onto the show, if Sandler would have told you like, oh, I know him, I love him. You two, that wouldn't work. I'm just telling you, I know you, that's not going to work.
Yeah.
You might have kind of moved on and go like, okay, maybe I'll look somewhere else.
Yeah, but he said that about you and you're here.
Yeah, that's true. But
he goes, no. We did have a discussion about you and you're here. So yeah. I didn't totally listen to what Sandler said.
But if somebody said no for like a, I'm talking about like a, you two don't work.
I'm just joking. No, I'm half joking.
No, he only says that about my therapy.
No, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah,
I would, if you were like, it's like you said with Nick Harris.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, I think you're going to like this guy. He does things the right way. He's this, he's that. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to 90% believe your word of mouth because I trust you. And it, you know, it's proven to be true.
Yeah. So
he's the only one who gave me the Schottenheimer credit.
So if somebody is talking to both sides and saying, hey, Ben, I don't think you'd love working there. And right. Guys, right. I don't think you'd like working with Ben.
Yeah.
I think that's...
Okay, well, that's for Ben Johnson. There's a lot...
Sure, no. I just think for...
You know, I wasn't married to Ben Johnson, but there's a lot of other coordinators. There's a lot of other possibilities, mm-hmm. a lot of other candidates, and they didn't go outside to try to do anything else with it. What about the fans? What about the fans? Jerry Jones was asked in the post-presser who are furious and ticked off at you.
Well, I understand that, and I'm mad at me right now, but that's not the issue is what are we going to do about it? I'm the best man to do something about it, so that's the way it goes. When you do and live the life I live, you change the mirror. Your question should be, how many times have you changed your course? How many times have you done differently in your life for meaningful things? And the answer would be, it's a habit of doing things differently. That's what you do. When you basically work for yourself, you've got to change. There's no joy in Mudville if you're not in the mirror. There's no joy. But what you're doing and what you're motivated by is get to be a part of, in this particular case, championship. Get to be a part of it. You know, the hardest thing about success is being around to enjoy it.
So this is the general manager hamster wheel. It's just, it's round and round and round and round and round. A lot of Tolos, and I agree, sick and tired of the 30-year-old stories. Okay. Oh, we know about the Bronco. All right. We know, but it hit me yesterday. I believe it's a theory. The reason Jerry Jones keeps bringing these things up over and over about how he got the Dallas Cowboys and how he was told that
bad deal, you terrible
can,
decision.
You can only build the stadium if you resign. He talked about all these things yesterday. Jerry is thinking, and the oil fields, right? He brought that up again yesterday. It only takes one. And he has these burned in memories of everyone telling him that's stupid, that's dumb. The advisors, not one person told me to buy the Cowboys and I wrote a $150 million check. Why does that apply now? Because I think Jerry still has that contrarian mentality of everyone is saying this is dumb. And I became a genius when everyone told me, I feel like Gavin Dawson psychology right here. Pass me that bait. I became a genius when everyone told me I was an idiot and everyone told me no. And it only takes one oil drill for me to become a genius again.
So I bet you that's every billionaire. I bet you every billionaire was told at the start that idea is never going to work.
Well, I would hope I would hope other billionaires after a 30-year period were smart enough and egoless enough to say, this isn't working. I need to change it. But it is working for Jerry financially, so he can hang on to that. He can always, that's his Brian Schottenheimer. The finances are always on the side. I'm always going to have that. It takes one oil drill for me to look like that genius again and tell everyone, I told you so. You told me not to buy the Cowboys. You told me I could not build the stadium. You told me the vote couldn't pass. Jerry Jones believes that he is living one in a million odds, that he's the luckiest SOB on earth, and that it could just happen all it takes. He's always got that glimmer of hope in his eye and when he's speaking, and it's the whole GM hamster wheel over and over. He went through three, and there's a 3.5% coach turnover in the NFL. I don't even know what the numbers are for
3.4 years. 3.4 the average head coach.
Yep, 3.4 years. And then finally, I think it was Nui Scruggs who asked the great question. So no one else in 25 years made Brian Schottenheimer their head coach, even though Bobby pointed to the two jobs that he turned down. What do you know that we don't?
No head coach has won anything. No, somebody that's never head coached has won anything in the definition of, do you win it just by being the head coach? Okay, can you have had victories by being in other positions other than the head coach? I told you, this is a risk because he has not head coached, not even high school, but he's been around people that have in their own way been a part of that. Let me just say this. The every coach, every situation, you've got boxes that are empty. You've got boxes that you check. I like the boxes that I checked with Schottenheimer.
He said that Brian has had his nose busted. He wants to get that Super Bowl for the Schottenheimer family. Again, talking about mom again. And that was a little recap of the post presser with Jerry Jones yesterday.
Yeah, and I think we didn't have it there, but one of the things he talked about too was just that.
And by the way, I'm going to say it again. I said it in the 6 o'clock hour. I'm sorry, Bobby. He is right that this is a risk. Everyone's saying that this is not a risk. I believe that those people are wrong. I'm going to defend Jerry there. This is a monumental, what many people, us included, think crazy risk.
Oh, it is.
This is an unbelievably, like.
I don't know that you say that with the guy next to you, though.
What's that?
I don't know that you say that with the guy sitting next to you.
Oh, that he shouldn't have said it? He doesn't care.
He doesn't care. No, of course not.
He's thinking of it like, he said it. He goes, you're in the big room now. He said that. Then they brought the mics down. TMP up in heaven was like, put that down. Don't get the pre-presser conversation on microphone. Turn down the mic. You're in the big room now. He's like, you're lucky to be here. You're lucky to be here. Don't matter what I say like that. Sorry, Bobby. Back to you. But this is a risk. He's right.
Yeah, I mean, and it's a risk from a couple different perspectives of just the inexperience and where it goes. But also, it's a risk in terms of the motto in this building for a long time was get comfortable being uncomfortable, or whatever that phrase was that Jason Garrett used to always say. This feels like comfort in a lot of ways to them. Like they talk about continuity, but it's change with continuity. There is a definite risk in comfort and carryover from things that have not worked here for almost 30 years, a drought, you might say. But I think the biggest thing from Jerry yesterday was just, it struck me that he's on board, but he had to be sold. And they effectively sold him on it.
Ross Tucker coming up at 8 o'clock to talk filthy and everything else NFL. First, this.
Do you have a question, Kelly?
Yeah, I have a lot of questions. Number one, how dare you?
Yep, it's time for Ask Reddit here on 105 Through the Fan. We do this every Tuesday at 7:40. We will get your thoughts on the Frankel & Frankel Injury Attorneys Fan Text, 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053, and on the Twitch and on the YouTube. And we're going to get it off. That didn't sound good. We're going to start it off, quote unquote. Going to start it off. You know what, with that, I'm going to start with you, Chop, right, just for that. What did your ex ruin for you?
Which one?
Pick them. Just something an ex ruined.
Cell phones,
trust, faith in humanity,
televisions,
windshield, every memory,
kids' photos,
ever.
Footballs.
Yeah, kids' photos. Let's see, wedding albums. Literally cell phones, windshields, TVs. My Bursa sack. That thing was popped. Every time I
sounds
turn
painful.
On, every time I turn on a car, the mobsters. You turn on a car, you wonder if it's gonna blow up. No, mine. I was wondering if there's a tracking device on it somewhere. So, yeah, I mean, the astonishing tales of the dating life of RJ Choppy.
Michael Irvin, we went to dinner one night. His mouth was on the ground listening to the RJ Choppy and watching them, too.
Yeah.
man, if Michael's jaw's on the ground, jeez.
You remember that? Yeah, Mike's jaw's on the ground.
Mike's jaw's, yeah.
Zach Brown Band. Zach Brown Band was ruined for me.
Oh, yeah. It could be a song.
Not a fan of Chicken Fried?
No, this is a, I like that song. It was just.
Old Beer on a Friday Night.
Favorite band of hers. And she was, there was a specific song, Keep Me in Mind, that she used to reference like in the middle of arguments, or that I was just like, I like them. I can't listen to them now because it's just like, so every time I hear it, it's just like.
Oh. All their songs?
I mean, there's a couple of them that I can listen to, but generally whenever I hear them, I just kind of like, oh gosh, like a little bit of that.
Pepe, what was it for you? Olive Garden?
No, I still go there. It was going to movie theaters. She always complained about,
That's a big one to cross off your list.
I know. She was never into movies, so that's why I can't, my movie knowledge is kind of blank now because I don't enjoy really watching movies. I can't just sit still for 2.5-3 hours. I got to be able to walk around, do all that sorts of things. So me and my ex, we never went on dates to movie theaters. We went to one movie, and that was it. She complained about it, so I was like, you know what? We're done here. We never went back.
I think it's interesting how you say theaters.
Yeah. He says he has a couple different odd pronunciations.
And you sound a little spazzy. Like you cannot sit down for a 3-hour movie.
No, like even games, if I'm watching a game, it could be my team on the TV and I gotta, get up and walk around.
For me, it's a big bottle of Cavit white wine. Cavit. This girl would go into the store, get like a big 1.5 or whatever the big size is, and whenever I walk by in a liquor store or your usual grocery store and I see that brand and that bottle, disgust. Here's Cabot, some of the, Cabot white wine.
Yep. Here's some of the answers on the fan text. 972, country dancing and girls having guy friends. Well, sounds like he got burned there.
Man.
Sorry about that. Yeah, it sounds like a guy friend who was country dancing with her. 801, my ex
sounds
ruined.
Sounds like someone else, Billy Bob.
My ex ruined fatherhood. I found out 17 years later he might not be biologically mine.
Oh, no.
That's pretty terrible.
That is awful.
940, my credit. Another 940, ex ruined redheads for me.
My credit.
So we're getting a lot of different. Answers there on the fan text. All right, next one here on Ask Reddit. Sean Sharif, what did your parents have that you never will?
What did my parents have that I never will? I know the opposite of that was cable. I don't know. I'm trying to think of like a technology thing.
Wow, what a privileged individual.
Technology, they wouldn't have had anything.
Yeah.
More technologically advanced.
Come back to me.
I mean, a work-life balance, no fear of being canceled. You know, like the ability to express your views and keep your friends. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Although my mom.
Have you lost friends?
I haven't, but my mother, man, you know what? I was going, she said the other day, she goes, you know, I can't. Our niece, she goes, I can't find her number on my phone. I'm like, well, just put it in. And I go down there, and it was blocked. She accidentally blocked it. And I went through her blocked numbers. This woman has like 5,000 blocked phone numbers. I go to her Facebook. Half the family is blocked up. I'm like, what are you doing? She goes, I just can't. I can't deal with their political posts.
She's political.
I know. But it's her politics. Yeah. It's not the other ones.
Bobby, you'd be shocked. You meet this nice, sweet lady.
Oh, I met her. She was great. I met her at a Lucas baseball game. She was great.
Right.
I have an answer. My parents had a basically one-parent household while we were growing up, and I'm not going to have that. Every time I change a diaper, I'm so bitter and jealous towards my father. I'm like, he didn't change a diaper, doing all the, when I'm picking up the baby and I'm playing around, I'm like, my dad never did this. He got away with all this stuff. So for you saying you're just finding out 17 years later, that the kid is or is not?
Is not.
Is not? Oh, well, that really sucks because you had to put in the work. You had to put in the work. If you could just fast forward to like year 12, 13, you'd be good. But no, my parents had one individual, and I love my pops. I'm not crying, but my mom did everything. Nope, I'm trying to be 50-50.
Nine babies. That's what my parents had.
Dang!
I don't need nine, but I do. I did want more than I ended up getting, and I'm not going to get them now. And every time, I think there's a chance, because every time Kristen opens Facebook and sees Ava, she gets a little bit of...
Oh, I got a good picture this morning.
It's like her milk comes in or something. She's
I can get you twins off this picture today.
There we go.
Yeah,
whoa!
It's a good one.
But she is... that's what the girls have really started pestering her about. We want a baby. We want a younger sibling. Bobby, we want a baby.
Get a dog.
She doesn't want to. Addison's allergic.
Oh.
So that's the problem. But she doesn't. She just doesn't want to start the clock over again.
It'll look like a golden doodle.
Kristen is finally living life. Bobby's this G-lister. He's this public figure now. All these events. That girl's all taking flights and sitting here and there. Let her. Kristen, don't go backwards. Go forward.
Peyton.
Hanging out with Nate Newton's wife.
Peyton, what did your parents have that you'll never have? So a moat around your giant estate?
Nope, not that. It's a pool. Now, look, I've made it clear. I love to swim. I love swimming. I hate the maintenance that goes with it, though. Having to keep up with it, I would hate doing it. Now, if I could pay someone to do it, then sure, maybe I'll do that. Well. But it's a pool. I'd never get a pool in my house.
Wow. That's a great answer.
Ask Reddit here on 105 Through the Fan. Chop, what is the most basic thing you're terrible at?
Multitasking. Two things at once like that. I can't. If you guys are talking and I'm like looking at the computer or whatever, or if I'm like typing or I'm text, I'll be texting at home. I'll be looking on something. Sarah will say something like 5 minutes later. I'm like, did you say something? What? My mind just, my ears and eyes do not work at the same time.
All right. I mean, I feel like there are times where you multitask pretty well, but there
I'm really
are other
good
times
at
where you zone in.
I'm really
on
good at BS.
That may be it. That could be it. I'll tell you the most basic thing I'm terrible at is handwriting. I hate writing anything down.
Really?
I hate it. Like I just hate the way it looks. I was just like, I don't. I'm not going to do it.
No, you don't have anything handwritten over there?
I'm genuinely not going to do
it. Do you have terrible handwriting?
Yes. I hate whenever KNC asks me to sign Mike's chair. I really get...
What?
I really get like anxious about it. I never knew this.
I was going through some of my dad's like old like documents the other day, and he's like a calligraphy writer. I never seen anything like it. This is like the most. It's like Ben Franklin.
No, I hate it. I will avoid it at all costs. I mean, just anything I can do to avoid it. Peyton, what about you? Most basic thing you're terrible at.
So look, I love to cook. It's cooking rice. I can't do it. I swear, I have followed the directions a million times down to the, you know.
Hey, add water and eat.
It's enough water or it's not enough rice, and it's always crunchy.
Rice cookers are great.
Pepe, that's what I was going to say. Put it on your registry. That's what I'm going to get you.
Oh, yes.
I'll get you a rice cooker.
Yes.
And it's fantastic. It is fantastic. It's tricky. I think it's very, very tricky, but put it on there. That's a great answer.
What about
as well.
You? What are you terrible at? A basic thing you're terrible at?
I'm just really like dumb with a lot of common things. There's a way to mess. I mean, just I can't change a tire. Maybe change the oil. Like RJ's becoming, you know, Tim the Tool Man over here. And I'm like going backwards. Like I got to get my father-in-law to come over and do the car battery. Like basic. I'm gonna have to like figure out how to save face with my son when I'm talking to him about this stuff. Really, because he should, you know, grow up and be a man. I'm just gonna have to buy him the Sabrina twos
and let the threes him know. By then.
The threes.
There are some great answers here on the fan text. 469 reading. I can read for 30 minutes and have no idea what the hell I just read.
Yeah.
But I'll know what I'm doing tomorrow. 915 zippers give me problems.
Zippers.
254 patience. 817 I can't snap my fingers no matter what I do. Yeah, I got that. Whistling is tough for a lot of
can't
people.
Whistle.
All right, we got time for one more, I think, here. Sean Sharif, what jobs are most likely to have colleagues that hook up?
What if you work at a strip club?
That big rack of hers.
There's one.
That peanut butter skin.
That peanut butter skin.
Oh, you know what? Like a model photographer. I always feel like those people, if it's a dude, you know, you got the in already and you're traveling around with them all the time. You can hear all their stories and all that. So I would say the photographer for good looking people.
I was thinking like anything in the arts, like drama. I felt like drama in the drama club in high school was like a dorm at Texas Tech. Just like I just felt like that was what it was. Like they were the only ones that were just like completely hooking up with everybody in there. I think drama.
I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just generally it's like younger people that are just making some money in college or whatever else. And so you get people around the same age. I have known so many people who worked in fast food and then hooked up with somebody that they were working with there.
What?
Like if there were other like college age people there or whatever else, I've known so many of those. Peyton?
Any job that involves sports, whether it's a professional team or...
We don't hook up.
We don't... Not sports talk radio. We don't have many...
You mean like cheerleader with an athlete, someone who would work for Bally.
Training staff. A bunch of co-ed jobs like
okay.
that.
Somebody would work for Bally.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yep. RIP to Bally. The girl, I think she's still alive. Ask Reddit. She didn't date Bobby, but she's still alive. Commercial-free expressway with a Jason Aldean ticket giveaway. We got to give props and get his thoughts on the new Cowboys hire. Our friend from Filthy, Ross Tucker, next.